trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This morning, I'd like for us to consider from this passage of Scripture, finding freedom through forgiveness. Finding freedom through forgiveness. Let's pray for just a moment. Lord, I thank you for your kindness to us. We're thankful for the reminders we've already had of the blessing it is to treasure Jesus Christ. Lord, we would this morning rather have Jesus than anything else this world affords. And now that we have him, Lord, we know that you have certain expectations for us. Those expectations are not meant to be burdensome, but they are meant to give us a pathway of blessing. And as we think of that great story that Brother Ron just sang about, the great difference that you've made in our lives, and have an opportunity to tell it again and again, Lord, I pray that the topic of our message this morning would not stand in the way or hinder us from being able to do just that. Bless now in our few moments we have together this morning. May you be honored and glorified as we look into the truth of your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. On December the 9th, 1977, the Los Angeles Lakers hosted the Houston Rockets for a regular season home game. Just after halftime, a scuffle broke out between two players from the opposing teams near the midcourt. Rudy Tomjanovich, a four-time NBA All-Star playing for the Rockets that night, ran from underneath the basket some distance in a full sprint to assist his teammate involved in the altercation at midcourt. One of the Lakers players, his name Kermit Washington, he was involved in the fight in midcourt, and catching a blur of Tomjanovich's jersey behind him, simply wheeled and punched Rudy Tomjanovich right in the face. This punch sent Tomjanovich backwards, crashing to the floor, knocking him unconscious, and causing his head to smash against the hardwood. The punch, as it has been referred to, rendered him unconscious. And the effect was not merely a broken nose, but in fact, an entire skull fracture. His skull had actually been knocked out of alignment. His jaws no longer fit together as they once did. And actually, they would come to find out that his tear ducts actually collapsed. He had been hit so hard. Regaining consciousness, the story goes that he looked at the trainer who was over him at that time and said, "What just happened? Did the scoreboard fall on me?" It was a serious situation. They rushed him to the hospital. And in truth, he was nearly killed. Five surgeries later, he tried the next season to return to the NBA, but he never regained his former abilities, his skills having been compromised, to say the least, from the injuries that he sustained. Later on, he was asked a very probing question. That question was if he had forgiven Kermit Washington for delivering the punch that essentially ruined his then-promising career. His response is very insightful. He said, "Someone once told me that paying Kermit would be like drinking poison and hoping someone else would die. And I've always tried to remember that." Unforgiveness, he described it as drinking poison and hoping that someone else would die. You know, he's right. It may feel right, it may feel justifiable, it may seem like you have no other option but to hold on to the hate or the hurt or the bitterness or the anger. And yet truly an unforgiving spirit is only destructive and deadly to the one who refuses to let it go. The only way to find true freedom is through true forgiveness. In John 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus reminds us that when we continue in his word as his disciples, that we will experience truth or know truth. And that truth, this is the promise, that truth will set us free. I'm thankful this morning that we serve a chain-breaking Savior. Some might think that using such word pictures as poison and chains this morning is a little severe and a bit much, but I beg to differ. Choosing forgiveness is part of God's pathway to blessing for us as believers as we journey towards freedom together. One author put it well, and I want us to use this as our theme for the remainder of our time together this morning, and I quote, "Forgiveness is not a method to be learned as much as a truth to be lived." Forgiveness is not a method to be learned as much as a truth to be lived. What did Jesus just say in the passage we read together from John 8? When we read and look into his truth, that same truth will set us free. It will set us free. It will effectively break the bonds and the chains of sin in and around our hearts. The alternative is unsettling for the believer, to say the least, according to our primary text this morning. What did it say? What did Jesus say here in Matthew chapter 6? For if you forgive men your trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, if you display an unwillingness to go there, to continue to maintain a spirit of unforgiveness, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If we choose, we make a conscious choice to not forgive those who have offended us, how can we have any expectation or confidence that God will do the same for us by forgiving our own trespasses or offenses against him? I want to assure you this morning, my intention today is by no means to minimize or to trivialize any of your pain or your hurt. That pain, those hurts, are real. We all know in some form or fashion, to some degree or another, we all know what it's like to be part of the walking wounded at some point along our journey that we call the Christian life. My prayer and my hope this morning is that none of this comes across as insensitive, unfeeling, or calloused. My desire is to simply help us see truth in the spirit of John 8:32 this morning. One seasoned pastor remarked that his long ministry experience had convinced him that, quote, "nearly all the personal problems that drive people to seek pastoral counsel are related in some way to the issue of forgiveness." The pain is real. The hurt is real. The wounds are often very deep. And as Pastor acknowledged recently, just a few services ago, every scar has a story behind it. And I'm not here this morning to join the chorus of voices who insist that we simply need to forgive and forget and move on. That's easy to say, but a whole lot harder to do, is it not? To forgive and to forget. The reality for us this morning is, if we're transparent, if we're honest with ourselves and before the Lord today, each and every one of us face the ripple effects of unforgiveness every single day. It affects men and women, even in our audience and our auditorium this morning. It affects boys and girls. It affects the married and the single. It affects the employed and the retired. No one is exempt from this very real struggle. Now, the magnitude of what we may deal with does vary. Those effects can stem from and range between unspeakable, even criminal offenses spanning many years, all the way to passing insults and injuries. Large or small, by comparison, these offenses still hurt, nonetheless. And we've all seen, or perhaps experienced, how unforgiveness can ruin a marriage, family, a church, a ministry, a workplace, and even, sadly, long-lasting relationships, friendships. This morning, I recognize that I can't know where you may be at today in relation to that spectrum of, shall we say, raging resentment for an offense or offenses done to you, all the way to perhaps just a dull ache of the pain of remembrance. As one author put it, it may have become so familiar and habitual that you can't remember what it was like to ever live without it. Or maybe it is so subtle and disguised that you don't even recognize it for what it is. Regardless, you don't have to go that way. You don't have to live that way any longer. The choice to forgive will set you on a journey to freedom. My goal this morning is simply this, to remind us that forgiveness, it's not just a method to be learned as a quick fix, as much as it is a truth to be lived out, to be fleshed out in our lives every single day. Remember, if we allow it, God's truth will do what? Set us free. I can't give you this morning a recipe for success. I can't give you a simple three-step process to fix the issue of unforgiveness, but I can remind you of truth this morning. You remember what the author of Hebrews wrote in Hebrews 12:15. Turn there with me for just a moment. A very familiar passage, but one in which we find great challenge. Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You say, wait a minute, the title of the message is not about bitterness. No, but bitterness has everything to do with a spirit of unforgiveness, does it not? Because bitterness, as it says, creeps in, it springs up, it takes deep root in the heart, and then when it comes out and blooms, if you will, it doesn't just trouble you, but it troubles many people. What is he saying? In our vernacular, he says, look diligently. See to it. Stop. Take time. Take evaluation of your own heart. See to it, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now, I don't know about you, but we want to obtain God's grace, do we not? To obtain, to have, to experience victory in our lives on this pathway to freedom. Freedom from the bondage of sin. We want to obtain God's grace to release us from the prison house where we have been held hostage to our sinful thoughts and emotions, because that's exactly what a spirit of unforgiveness does. It holds you hostage in your thoughts, in your emotions, and it affects your very life. Lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Unforgiveness. It's a way similar to that of the transgressor. The way of the transgressor is what? It's predictably a hard path, is it not? A difficult journey. As opposed to the way of forgiveness, because the way of forgiveness, as we see from our text in Matthew this morning, is a way of blessing. The way of blessing includes, for the believer, God hearing our prayer and forgiving us when we confess our sins and forsake them, is it not? That's the way of blessing. That's the way that yields freedom from a domination of sin in our hearts. The power that Jesus Christ and the salvation we have in him has broken those very chains. But there is a difference. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, there's a difference between that way of unforgiveness and the way of forgiveness. And thereby, it says, many be defiled. Look diligently, he says. See to it, because why? This is God's plan for you. This is God's will. This is God's way. This is God's desire for you, that you would be able to find freedom, to live freely in your heart as a result of forgiveness. In Charles Dickens' classic, Great Expectations, we are introduced to Miss Havisham, an eccentric old lady who apparently was jilted at the marriage altar when her fiancé ran off with another woman at that proverbial 11th hour. From that moment on, Dickens portrays time literally stopping for Miss Havisham. The clocks throughout her home stopped precisely at the fateful hour of 20 minutes until 9. Heavy drapes were apparently hung to block the sunlight from brightening the dingy house, and she chose to live in exclusion with her adopted daughter, Estella, while that wedding cake and the feast continued to lay rotting on the table. Spiders carrying off bits and pieces here and there, and mice scurrying throughout the walls. Perhaps most notably in the story, Miss Havisham is described as continuing to wear the ill-fated wedding dress and the veil that now was long since faded, discolored, and obviously tattered from years of use. When the main character in the story of Great Expectations, Pip, when he arrives at the house to visit Estella, he must have wondered why this spectacle was taking place. Miss Havisham offered this depressing testimonial. She said, "On this day of the year, long before you were born, this heap of decay," and she pointed to the table, "this heap of decay was brought here. It and I have worn away together. The mice have gnawed at it, and sharper teeth than the teeth of mice have gnawed at me." What was she referring to? Sharper teeth than the teeth of mice. I think it's safe to say she was talking about those teeth of resentment and bitterness and hatred and anger that her story hadn't played out a different way. It's true. Those sharp teeth of resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness can indeed gnaw at us from the inside out, can they not, if we're not careful? Our plight, of course, may not be as alarmingly pitiful as Dickens' character in Great Expectations, but it's still true. Sometimes we find creative ways to numb the pain, to carry on in spite of it all, or just to put on a brave face while creating some sense of normalcy for ourselves. But our inner spirits bear the marks of those scars from those sharp teeth that gnaw at us in that dark room or that dark house that we choose to go too often to and close the door behind us. This morning, can I say it this way? In keeping with that imagery from that story, God wants us to pull back. God wants us to tear down those musty drapes and let the light of His truth shine into our hearts and effect a change. He wants the light to come past those barricades that we set up around our heart to reveal a pathway toward the way of forgiveness. Came across a song recently, and these words are very appropriate and apply really to what we're talking about this morning. Songwriter put it this way: if you've been walking that same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing that same old voice tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there is a better life. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just aren't right. And there's a better life. There is a better life. And the chorus is, if you've got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He is a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, He is a prison shaking savior. If you have chains, He is a chain breaker. I'm glad that we have a chain breaking savior this morning, aren't you? Remember, forgiveness is not a method to be learned as much as it is a truth to be lived. If you want this experience, this reality to be yours from Matthew 6, verse 14, not 15, but if you want verse 14 to be your reality, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If that's what you want to experience on a consistent basis, if you want the reality And the ramifications of a 1 John 1:9, if I confess my sin or agree with God about my sin, he will be faithful and just to forgive me my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. If you want that this morning, if you don't want to be handicapped because you let the adversary, the devil, set up that base camp of operation in your heart again and allow him to chain you back to that post of unforgiveness, if you want that to be done, forgiveness is not just a method that has to be learned. It is a truth that must be lived. Sometimes, if we're honest this morning, it would be really nice to have a rewind button on the remote of our lives, would it not? To be able to just hit back, undo, start over. And yet, even as that quote that was in the bulletin this morning, you can't go back and change the beginning. It's not how it works. But you can start where you are and change the ending. And that has everything to do, not with you and me, but with the grace of God, is it not?
Amen.
That amazing grace that we can realize on a daily basis. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. So I ask you this question this morning. Is the time, or I should say, is it time to start that clock back again in your heart? For you, has time stood still? Is it time to burn those lists of grievances that we can all be really well practiced at keeping? Is it time to let go of the anger and the vengeful feelings? Is it time today to confess your hatred? Allow God to put his healing balm on your hurt. Truthfully, there are those today that may have been victimized in some form or fashion. Jesus acknowledged that we would not be exempt from trouble in this life simply because we agreed to take up our cross and to follow him. And yet, I'm reminded this morning with great joy that the outcome of our lives is not determined by what happens to us, but by how we respond to those things that do happen to us. Our only hope this morning lies in realizing that we don't have, or that we do, I should say, have a choice about how we respond to life's circumstances. We do have a choice. I remember one of my many mentors and friends in college shared with us how she endured abuse from a very angry father during her upbringing. For her, she testified that it was truly a journey. It was a process in realizing that there was a difference between hating and hurting. This very same individual just recently endured an unimaginably tragic loss in her life just a few months ago. And based on her testimony still, she is still choosing to focus on the good that God is trying to bring about in her life for his own glory. Joseph knew about this in the Old Testament account, did he not, when he forgave his own brothers? You remember that? What a powerfully emotional moment. You know the story. What did he say? How did it come out? How did he verbalize it? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And that wasn't the only thing. Just the fact that his brothers had sold him into slavery. You know the story of Joseph. They were a whole lot of things. If anybody had an excuse from a physical standpoint, from a human perspective, to keep a list, Joseph could have had a laundry list, could he not? Of offenses that were done to him in his life. And yet he made a choice at a very pivotal moment in his life, and he said, you may have meant it for evil, but God intended it for good. You know, there is a way, there truly is a way that seems right unto man. And that way includes resentment, it includes bitterness, it includes vengeance, it includes hostility, and it includes unforgiveness. And we know where that way leads, do we not? There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the ways thereof are
certain death.
And yet this morning, I want us to consider the other way, a different path that will lead you to freedom by way of a much happier journey. God's word reveals to us that we can find forgiveness this morning, or we can find freedom this morning through forgiveness. Some closing thoughts today. One author suggests that forgiveness truly is a journey with many steps that must be carefully and thoughtfully taken. He describes those steps to include these. To see the offender as having worth again, regardless of the wrongdoing. To see the offender as equally precious again, in spite of felt pain. To cancel demands on the past, recognizing that changing the unchangeable is impossible. To work through the anger and the pain felt by both, perhaps, and reciprocating, trusting, and risking until genuineness and intention is perceived and repentance is seen by both to be authentic. To go a step further, to drop the demands for an ironclad guarantee of future behavior. And lastly, to touch each other deeply, to feel moved by warmth, love, compassion, and to celebrate in mutual recognition that right relationships have been achieved. We have to want those right relationships, though, do we not? We have to have a desire for those relationships to the best of our ability and for our part to be restored. It may seem hard. The path ahead may seem overwhelming, it may seem daunting, but that doesn't mean that it's not the right thing to embrace going forward, this way of forgiveness. We were never promised that our Christian journey would be easy, were we? We were never promised it would be easy, but we were promised, and we do know that He will never leave us or forsake us along the way. I'm glad that we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother, aren't you? You don't have to do it alone. And practically speaking, forgiveness isn't something that you can give in and of yourself anyway. Would you agree with that this morning? Forgiveness is not something that is yours to give. It's been modeled for you and given to you already. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones put it this way, and I quote, "I say to the glory of God and in utter humility that whenever I see myself before God and realize even something of what my blessed Lord has done for me, watch this, I am ready to forgive anybody anything." Is that not good? He said, when I see myself for who I am in light of what God's grace means to me and what Jesus did, as Brother Ron saying, He sent Him for me. He said, when I see myself in an appropriate way, I must be ready to forgive anybody anything. So what will it be this morning for you and for me? Will we embrace the better way of forgiveness that God intends for us? The path of healing, of hope, and of happiness? Or will you continue to drink the poison and hope someone else dies? I acknowledged earlier at the beginning, this is not intended to be a quick fix message. It's not. It can't be. We aren't here this morning to simply rip off that bandage and to get over it. That's not the intention at all. The intention is to look into the Word of God, to see great truth, and to be reminded of the possibility, not because of us, but because of the beauty of God's promises to us. When we look, when we experience God's word is His disciples, John 8, 31, 32 say, we will experience that truth, and that truth will allow us to be set free. Forgiveness is a process, but today, this morning, could be the much needed beginning and the welcome start of that process for you. But we have to make a choice. To make it simply more than a good idea, and to make it a truth to to live by God's enabling grace and with his help. We've had an occasion this morning. You've chosen on purpose, for some reason or another, you've chosen on purpose to be here, to be in God's house today. And I hope the primary reason was for you to have an opportunity to take the mirror of God's word, to look into that mirror, and to see truth. But what does James tell us is important? It's critically important for us. When we walk away from looking in the mirror this morning, what must we do? We must respond, shouldn't we? It will be useless for us to come to look in the mirror and then to walk out that door and to allow it not to affect us. Matthew chapter 6 could not be clearer. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Promise. At the same time, it's also a promise and it's also true. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, don't walk away from this service this morning and have expectation and confidence that God is going to continue to forgive you as you resist him, as you oppose him, as you hold him at arm's length in this issue of unforgiveness. We've looked in the mirror this morning. We've seen the truth. Now it's up to us to respond. Think about it this way as we close. We miraculously love him because he graciously first loved us. Aren't you thankful for that today?
Amen.
You know, it's the same thing with forgiveness. As I mentioned just a moment ago, forgiveness is not ours really to give. It's the same way when it comes to love as it is with forgiveness. We can only forgive anybody anything because we have been forgiven everything by the grace of God. As Brother Pollard would say, I like it, don't you? All God's forgiven people said,
amen.
Amen. Let's stand together this morning as we conclude our service. With heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment this morning as we've considered a very simple passage but very important truth. Finding freedom through forgiveness.